first time in the studio after all this time, Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti. We've talked on the phone a lot, but it's good to see in person.
No, it's great to meet you. And I'm a hugger, so I went up to you and I hugged you and realized that you're 6'4", just like Bruce Rauner. Yeah. So us shorties just get no respect.
I don't know about that, exactly. You know, I'm glad you were here. And there's a lot of reasons why. You know, last time you and I spoke, I was talking about the opioid addiction crisis, the overdose crisis, because there's components to this.
Right.
You can't just say opioid crisis and cover the bases here. That there are a lot of components to this, something you're finding out now.
Right, right.
Your visit to Gateway yesterday.
Right, yeah. That was a wonderful visit, let me tell you, at the Gateway Treatment Center over in Carbondale. I was surprised that so many people showed up, because you folks know that when this epidemic started roaring, a lot of people would shy away from the subject altogether. The subject is, there's a stigma associated
right.
with it. So I was very happy to see that the community came together in a very caring fashion, because they want to know what's going on and they want to get rid of this epidemic.
Because I was reading and some people had set goals in their communities. In one community, it said, well, we want to reduce overdoses by 33%.
Right.
I find that people are finding different ways to kind of attack this. But here's the thing that I find most confounding about this. We're not talking about someone who's coming across a border or in a cargo with a backpack full of opioids, of OxyContin.
Right.
All right. Now, we know that there's some of that that's stolen. We know that. But the numbers, and I know you've heard this, people who are trying to stop from feeling sick because they're coming off the opioids, you know, 8, 10, 12 pills a day. The hunger for this is so huge. How are these pills getting in such large quantity into the general public? I mean, I know a lot of pharmacists, and talk about an uptight group when it comes to counting and knowing how many pills are in the back in stock, and they're accountable to the federal government.
Right.
How does this number of pills get into the general public? That's
right.
My question.
The magnitude is large, and that's why it was so important that the minute we launched our plan and we started traveling the state and having field hearings, we also needed to have outcomes. And the first outcome was the availability of more Narcan, the resuscitator, when people are overdosing.
Right.
But the other one goes to your point, Tom, which is the prescription monitoring program. This is the only way that we could keep track as to the individuals that are doctor shopping to get more and more opioids. They go to the emergency room. They know what doctors to go to get all the opioids they need. And if we have a prescription monitoring program that is mandatory, then we could track all of the availability out there, because there's too much. But, you know, it doesn't only get started that way. A lot of times, us parents fail to take a look at our drugs at home and fail to throw those out. And some kids become addicted by looking into our medicine cabinets.
That's the on-ramp.
Right, that
you know?
Is.
And literally, when I was living not far outside of town, next door neighbor, young man suffering from cancer, they rob him of his cancer drugs,
right?
Among them, the painkillers.
Right.
And that has its own heinous connotations, of course. But, you know, this problem, it's interesting, because you have the aspect of opioids, and now I can't get opioids, and now I go to get heroin, which you can get really like a fix now for $20.
Right.
And you know, the prevalence of it, its availability.
Right.
And I mean, we've actually taken a pre-existing problem, a heroin problem, and we've given it another way to spread.
Right.
With opioid addiction.
Right.
It's interesting you talked about the Narcan, because I think it shows priority. Let's save people's lives. Let's put ourselves in a position where that happens. We can put them back. When Jeff Sessions did one of his first speeches as Attorney General, he said, I think it was 60,000 overdose deaths in the previous year, 2016.
Right.
And that 60,000 people are killed from taking pills?
Right. Well, just last year alone, we reached over 2,000 in the state of Illinois, opioid-related overdose deaths. That's why Narcan is so important. And that's why talking about this is so important, because I get to some communities sometimes where they say, well, we'll resuscitate you once, but, you know, when do we cut people off? And my response is, well, what if that's your neighbor, your brother, your wife? People, when they're ready to go into recovery, they will. But Narcan needs to be available. And I would submit we all need to be Narcan trained. I became Narcan trained because essentially we all become first responders.
Right.
You don't know at what point you could step in to help and make sure that someone comes back to life when they're experiencing an overdose.
And the problem that I run into most often is people don't know have answers to questions. Parents who reach out know something is wrong and don't know what to do, don't know how to speak to their child about getting help, know that there's a problem, see them literally wasting away, and reach out and go, I don't know what to do.
Right.
And so if we've got such an easy on-ramp to addiction, we need an easy on-ramp to assistance, too.
Right.
And not immediately the Narcan option, all right? But, so when it comes to saving people's lives, because second chance is a big thing. Americans love second chances, right?
We do.
But when it comes to this, there are a lot of parents, grandparents too, that are befuddled about what to do, how to have the conversation without pushing people away, how to find a treatment center that'll give them the outcome they want, that they can afford. Which is also something that's been brought up with me. That seems to me to be one of the biggest issues right now, at least here in Southern Illinois.
No, it's a huge issue all across the state of Illinois. That's why, along with that Narcan order, where you don't now need a script,
right.
You could go and get Narcan at Walgreens, we also have a 1-800 number. So for those grandparents or for those parents that don't know how to get started with their children on the conversation of recovery, and where to find help, I would ask that people write this down right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's we unveiled this a few weeks ago. It's 1-833-2-FIND-HELP. Again, 1-833-2-FIND-HELP.
When those numbers came out, that hotline was literally nailed.
Right.
No. Overwhelmed, literally.
Overwhelmed. And thankfully, we have some very good people answering those phones to be able to meet people where they're at in the whole process. These people are trained 7 days a week. They're available 24 hours a day. So parents, for those of you who don't know how to start the conversation with your children and you suspect something is going on, there's a way to find help immediately.
Get out! That's not one of the ways to do that, by the way. You're doing drugs? Get out! See, and what happens?
Right.
You know, I mean, even some of the athletic programs here have got zero tolerance. You get caught, and I'm thinking, man, that's the last thing you want to do is throw them off the team. Quite frankly, when I was growing up in high school, you got caught doing something bad, it's extra laps, Mr. Miller. We're going to run it out of you. How's that? How do you like that?
That's right.
So, and there are different ways of dealing and different philosophies. But problems abound. When it comes to opioid addiction, you're also here and heading down to Carroll this morning. Now,
correct.
It's interesting. I've been watching people's response to the Rahner Foundation donating $100,000 to get the kickstart, as the term was used, the Port Authority. Carroll's come up on the radar. Those of us who have lived here, it's been a problem for a long time. It's come to a head. Should have come to an head 25 years ago. But you're down there, and one of the things you're taking part in is a career and resource fair that's going on today.
Absolutely, and I would encourage everyone to attend. It's a wonderful resource fair, and it's a collaboration of local, state, federal, and private entities coming together. As you know, the unemployment rate over in Alexander County is the highest in the entire state.
Yep.
So being able to come together as a community and find employment opportunities is key. So we're thankful that this collaboration is taking place, and it's a wonderful start.
It's interesting that we recently did a job fair in Marion with a number of different locations and cooperations with IDES, and the people that we had, the companies that were looking for employees. So where's everybody at? I'm wondering at some point of whether we've chased so many people out of Illinois that even if we bring in a big business, that the people aren't there to be able to staff it. It's one of the concerns we have here in Southern Illinois. This last job fair, I think, was an eye-opener for many people going, we got jobs starting at $10 and $15 an hour, and there's no one here.
Right.
When I say no one, figuratively speaking, a lot less than what I anticipated would be the honest response there. And that's something that I've heard repeated now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't find anybody who can work. And then the second thing is, we can't find anybody that'll pass the drug test that can work.
Right, right.
I hear that a lot.
We hear that a lot, too. I'll check back with you after today's fair and let you know, how the attendance was, whether it was a healthy attendance. And I also want to remind people that this is a resource fair, too. So we're not only talking about jobs, but the Department of Employment Security is going to be there, as well as the Department of Aging. So if you have questions with regard to the state of Illinois, entities that exist in your community, again, this is a collaboration of many moving parts, not just jobs. Go and ask questions. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and, Director Mays, of course, has been talking about more that he wants to do with veterans, but you've also got ISIN, Pepsi that's going to be there, Southern Illinois Healthcare, and as we said, number of resources. Now, there's another item that you were doing while you're here, and I'm really glad the location you're going today. I think it's today. You're going to down Pope County today.
Absolutely.
Now, they're called AP programs, and I just spoke with the folks at John A. Logan College last week about this, about making that transition to higher education successful. A lot of information has been garnered, and we find out that a lot of kids who want to go on to higher education need remedial education. There's a gap between high school and community or universities, and we are not making that leap very well.
Right, we're not. So I had the Governor's Rural Affairs Council, and a big problem that came forward was the fact that a lot of times in the Chicagoland region, we find that children have access to all sorts of wonderful educational opportunities that aren't necessarily available in our rural communities. And when we heard this, we decided, wouldn't it be wonderful to start a pilot program for advanced placement classes? These classes are really important because you get college credits when you attend. And for us parents, it's a really important because we all know that college is an investment. And so if you could get your foot in the door early on to be able to get college credits for free, that is a wonderful opportunity. It levels the playing field.
And
really.
I've seen it work, too, with some young folks at John A. Logan College and others. Pope County, though, it's isolated in many respects by distance.
Underserved in many respects.
Great
even
kids,
ambulance
though,
services.
And health care. Because I'm actually, one of the things I'm working on in the future here is the possibility that without some additional certification, they're going to lose what health care they do have in Hardin County. I hope to have an interview on that on Monday, matter of fact. But when it comes to that, making that leap, because you've got Southeastern Illinois College to the north there in Saline County, and then, of course, you can go over here to Rind Lake, and you've got some of the other options around it. But, getting them that opportunity to make that leap up and out to higher education.
Right.
One of the keys, but, as the governor has said on more than one occasion about 2 weeks ago, he says, here we are creating great engineers and architects. And they leave.
They leave. That's also the case in our rural communities with our doctors. There's a big brain drain, and this is something that we have to attack. And we're doing it right now with the Rural Affairs Council. We're finding more uses in telemedicine and telehealth so that people could even have access to those world-class doctors, even if you're in rural communities. But there's still a lot of work to be done. But what I want to tell you, Tom, is that this is why I admire Bruce Rauner so much, is that, I'm in charge of the Rural Affairs Council, and anytime we have ideas to be able to promote rural issues, he's right there front and center and promoting it as well. For example, a lot of the people in the Rural Affairs Council told me, Evelyn, we're all not just farmers in rural Illinois. We're entrepreneurs.
Right.
We're businessmen. We want to start businesses. Why don't you help us? Those LLC fees are killing us and preventing us from starting our own businesses. And we were able to recently unveil lowering those LLC fees, and that's been significant for our rural community so that they could get started.
It's interesting. I ran into a guy in Polk County, and what did he want to start? Tropical fish. He was going to raise them in his home and then ship them out. And that was his out of Golconda, Illinois. And a lot of people, tropical fish, Illinois, they don't put that two and two together.
Right.
And there are people doing things like that a lot of places, whether it's creating an Irish penny whistle and selling it online around the world. Making that entrepreneurial leap is a big item. You alluded to something, and that is talking to Governor Rauner, and that, you've had a recent conversation with the governor about whether you were going to stick with him with the second half. And he's point blank telling you he needs Evelyn Sanguinetti on the team. He needs support. He needs your help. And in light of the abortion bill signing, that was not an easy decision for you to make.
Yeah, well, I made no secret of it. You know, we're members of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. And when he said that we're a team and we should remain a team, I was thankful that he called me in advance and gave me the heads up of what he planned to do. But I also told him that it was an issue that I needed to pray on. And at the end of the day, we have so many issues in the state of Illinois, and we have to overcome so much that after having prayed on it and talked to my family about it, I decided to stay as a team because it's very important. All the work that we've done for rural Illinois thus far as a team, everything, we need to keep that going.
And clearly was not an easy decision for you.
It was not. It was a very personal decision. I don't know if you know much about my upbringing, but my mother chose to have me and keep me when she was just 15 years old.
My mom was 14.
Oh my. So
yes,
you understand.
You and I
well.
Actually have a similar story.
Yeah.
Although I found out mom was lying about her age. Just found out about this recently. So, you know,
that's not
I
a
mean
sin.
To the point where, you know, you had to go across the river to Kentucky to get married because it was against the law in Illinois.
Right?
Right? And so that thing, I get it. And I think a lot of other people do. And here's what, and that's why they're mad at the governor, because they do get it,
right? And it's okay. It's okay to go through that. I was upset. I remain upset on that issue. But there are so many things that Illinois needs. People, you know. Bruce
so you Reiner, had to take out the scales, didn't you?
Right.
And you had to do a balancing. And you go, I'm going to put this here, and I'm put this here, and I've got to see. I've got to make a decision instead of being rash. You're like, there's a lot at stake here. The state of Illinois, future taxation, people are driving people nuts on taxes. It's one of the biggest things that people talk about right now. You know this. And that whole balancing act, boy, and going, ooh, man, this is, you know, which one do I do?
Right.
Because there's a lot at stake right now for this upcoming race.
Right. And I look at my children. I want them to be able to stay in the state of Illinois. I have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And as you mentioned, a lot of people find opportunities elsewhere, and they stay there. I want my kids to be able to find opportunities in Illinois. It was a balancing act. But at the end of the day, I chose to remain as a team, and I chose Illinois. I chose Illinois. We've done so much work, but we still have more work to do. And as a team, we'll be able to do that.
It's not going to be an easy race this coming year. It's not going to be easy.
Well, last time it wasn't easy either. You know, we were not the kids from the block. And we continue to be those outsiders. But again, we choose Illinois. And this is where home is. And we're going to fight for our home so that our kids could stay here. I know Bruce has 6 children, and all of them live in different states. So we are going to fight for Illinois.
So the upcoming election, opioid addiction, taxes, property taxes, progressive tax. I mean, you actually see the word socialist being thrown around and describing some candidates. You've got the National Review saying, you know, Governor Rauner's the worst Republican governor in the state. We're going to be also operating in a volatile environment while we're moving forward. And when you take a look at the number of candidates in the Democratic Party, you've got 2 in the Republican, of course, a challenger for Rauner. It's going to be a lot of messaging. Here's the thing that I'm, you know, when you get to the backside of the primary, that everybody's so mauled, so mangled that nobody wants to vote for them anymore because we are mean in Illinois, and by the time you're doggone done with the primaries, you wonder, there's so much mud that you wonder whether you'll ever get clean again and get cooperation that you need and be able to move forward and people want to vote for you. That's what we do in Illinois. We tear each other apart to where there's nothing left.
Right.
Bloody remnants in the corner of the gladiatorial field.
Yeah, well, politics is dog eat dog. But I would really like to talk to the people now and let them know a little bit about me. So my mom is from Fidel Castro's Cuba, where no freedoms are still to be had. And so
do you share people that story with people that your family knows the difference between freedom and not freedom?
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the stories now that I think really should be shared more often.
Relish on that freedom and go and vote.
Yeah.
Go and vote.
Exercise your franchise.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a responsibility.
Absolutely.
And that's another question. You know, David Yepsen, who's former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, he says he wonders if things don't get so doggone mean that nobody wants to go out and vote. They don't want to be part of it because they feel they get dirty when they're around it.
No.
And that bothers me.
We have to. I'm first generation, so I know the importance. And it is that distinction of freedom versus other countries that don't afford us that freedom.